I'm Christian Zadek, and this is The Daily Thread, helping you find the thread of God's presence in your everyday life. Ephesians 5, 6 to 8 says this, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." If I'm honest, phrases like "the wrath of God" can make me flinch. When you read some words in Scripture that indicate God's anger, you might picture an unpredictable parent, a red-faced, angry authority figure, hand raised, just waiting for you to step out of line, as though they relish doling out punishment. I know a lot of people who think about the anger of God this way. But here's the problem. If that's your default image, it's almost impossible to draw near to God with trust. You might obey him, but you can't rest in him, always bracing for the next blow. If we take in the whole portrait of God in Scripture, he isn't revealed to us as abusive or hot-headed. In the Old Testament, the repeated refrain about God is not "he is quick to rage," but "he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Slow to anger. Steady love. So where do we get the idea that he's mad at us? The wrath of God is something we bring up when bad things happen. We believe God is all-powerful, so when things don't go our way, God must be mad at us. There are some problems with this line of thinking, but in general, I think our circumstances are what lead us to believe that God is angry. Perhaps we've heard teaching on the subject that makes it sound like God is full of anger toward us and our sinful behavior. Maybe it's a case of us making God in our own image. Things make us mad, so things must make God mad. I've heard it said that you can be sure you're worshiping an idol when God hates the same people you do. I think sometimes we look at our lives, our lack of perfection, or we look at other people who frustrate us, and then we assume God feels the same way. But God is not like us. He is much, much better. So how should we understand a phrase like "the wrath of God" in Scripture? I want to suggest three angles that might help us. First, we might understand God's wrath as God allowing consequences to play out. Romans 1 uses the phrase, "God gave them over." It describes people who are determined to live in destructive ways. God doesn't open the skies and zap them with lightning. He allows them to experience the natural results of their choices. When those consequences are severe, it might feel like God is angry, but it's really just him allowing us to have free will. God is not gleefully punishing us. He is honoring human freedom, even when it hurts. Think of someone who persistently abuses their body or their relationships. Eventually, things break. We might be tempted to say, God is punishing them, but very often what we're seeing is the painful harvest of seeds we've been sowing for a long time. Another way to understand God's wrath is as a commitment to justice. Imagine a child on a war-torn street, parents gone, terrified and vulnerable. Imagine God sees this child, shrugs, and says, "I don't care. That's how the world is." He wouldn't be a very good God, would he? If God loves justice, he must hate injustice. If he loves his children, he must oppose what destroys them. His anger is him saying no to evil. His refusal to be indifferent to abuse, oppression, and cruelty. A third way to see God's wrath is as the flip side of his love. You cannot love what is good and also love what destroys it. If you deeply love someone who is enslaved to addiction, you'll hate that addiction. You'll grieve over it. You'll be angry at the way it steals their life. Your anger is not against them, and your desire isn't to dole out punishment. But what they're experiencing isn't right. And if you love them, you'll be upset by that. In the same way, God's wrath is not the opposite of his love. It is what his love looks like in the face of evil. Ephesians 5 says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." In other words, step out of the patterns that tell lies about God's goodness and your own worth. Don't partner with what leads to destruction. This is important. God is not an abusive father waiting to strike you. He is a good father who loves you too much to bless what is destroying you. And nowhere is this clearer than at the cross. At the cross, Jesus walks straight into the full force of human evil, our violence, our pride, our injustice. The Father is not raging in anger against his Son. Rather, the Father, Son, and Spirit together enter into the worst that sin can do, and they let the consequences of our violence fall on Jesus. In the cross, we see the preeminence of divine love, and we understand something about what the wrath of God means toward injustice, oppression, and sin. God's answer to human evil is not, "I'm done with you." It's, "I'll bear this myself to bring you home." I hope you can rest in the truth of what God has done for you today. I hope you know that he is good, and he is patient, and he longs for you to know him in an ever-deepening degree. Trust in his goodness today. The Daily Thread is a podcast from Zephyr Hills Alliance Church. You can learn more about the ministries of our church by signing up for our newsletter at zaccma.org. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook and subscribe to our podcast channel wherever you listen to podcasts.